Hello, everyone, and welcome to JeffG Tonight. 2 minutes late, but it's a miracle these days that I even make it to the show. I'm busy. I have so much things on my shoulders, lots of personal life stuff, all of it on my shoulders. And I want to apologize because I made my whole brand about... Like, you come to my community, and I'm an intelligent guy interacting with you guys. But I'm so busy these days that I think I don't have the cognition that I used to have. I was talking with Fadam on Discord yesterday about the revolutionary phenotype, and I was like, my brain was frozen. It wasn't working. So apologies for the whole month of September. Expect me to be relatively out there. I will not have the same rhythm, the same power. I just don't have as much energy and not as much time to dedicate to being intelligent. So it's okay. It's time to relax sometimes. And sometimes it's time to just let the brain age. Nicholas Petris says, senile JF will be fun at least. hopefully at least you can laugh. Low Mercury Tuna comes with a super chat on entropy. He says, please explain again, but dumb it down. If one is less genetically related to one's half-black child than to a random white, how is breeding with that child more risky than breeding with a random white? So here we have a second degree question within the whole race mixing question. Okay, so if you are as related to a random white person than you are to the half-African child that you have, why isn't there a case? Why isn't it that when you reproduce with a random white person, you would have cases of genetic recessive disorders for inbreeding? Why does that not happen with breeding with your own? Why does it happen while you breed with your own biracial child, but it doesn't happen when you breed with a random European? It's quite simple. It's the chromosomal correspondence of genetic recessive disorders. So what is a recessive disorder? It's a disorder that lurks in the human genome, but that successfully lurks because it's rare. And to really suffer from the disorder, you need two copies of the recessive gene. So you need to have inherited both from your father and your mother the same disease for that disease to show up. That's what a recessive disorder is. Now, when you reproduce with a random European, what's very simple, it's very simple what's happening. On average, you don't have the exact same recessive disorder genes that they have. And if you are random enough, if they are your fourth cousin or more distant, you will not have the exact same one-letter defect that they have on their own chromosome. It's going to shake through randomness, and you will end up with very few recessive genetic disorders. In fact, most of the time, zero. Now, if you reproduce with your own biracial child, despite the fact that they are extremely distant from you, it doesn't change that 50% of their chromosomes are your chromosomes. They are the exact chromosomes that you have, and they have the exact same lurking genetic recessive disorders that you have. Once your chromosome in you meets your chromosome in your child, what do you have? You have a perfect clone. And that perfect clone will lead to genetic recessive disorders. In other words, the question of relationship is counted at the single letter level. When I say you're as related to your biracial child as a random European on the street, that is counted one letter by one letter. But with your child, there is something more. The child has the exact same chromosome and exact same chromosomal defect on 50% of his chromosomes that you have. So that's why. I hope you understand. It's simply because of the per copy of chromosome versus having on average the genes or the characteristics, the SNPs of a people. Those are two very different things. Shrink Mamel sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, I have options. I have the choice between the beautiful Vietnamese woman or a beautiful Taiwanese woman I just sent you a picture of. I'm leaning towards the Chinese woman as she has a passport that she can use to visit me without a visa before we get married. Okay. So you have a 9.5 out of 10 Vietnamese and a 8 out of 10 Chinese, Taiwanese that you just sent a picture of. Look, clearly the Vietnamese is super beautiful, but I would not make decisions on beauty. And anyways, the other picture you sent me, it's also a beautiful Asian female. But it's not a 9.5 out of 10. It's an 8.5. I would go for the 8.5 if things are more leading to insemination quicker. So it's all about how fast can you go to insemination and how loyal are they. I would go just on this because Asians, they're all beautiful acceptably. Like there's not a single Asian I wouldn't have sex with if I was single, of course. Now, I turn out to be extremely lucky to have a white female who is more beautiful than Asians. But the Asian bottom is very high. The Asian bottom is extremely high. So I would say go for any of them. They're all the same. They're basically a clone army. So then you go for the measure of loyalty. And yes, what you mentioned, the ease with which you can get to them, the ease with which they can get in the US, that will matter a lot. In any case, pursue fastest insemination possible. And nature will make it so... nature will just make it so that one of them gets to you. It's a contest. We have to start testing women for their willingness for insemination. So it's like women slowing down insemination is currently keeping civilization backward, and it's making us headed toward total disappearance from this planet. So we're going to have to start selecting women by their willingness to make babies. And so you can start right now. Now, those are two beautiful females. I wouldn't therefore go for beauty because the problem is if you're too hungry, it's very dangerous to be guided too much by beauty, because to just get that 1.5 advantage, to get from an 8 to a 9.5, you can sacrifice so much. You can sacrifice years of your life. Now, the other is super cute, but maybe she's young. Maybe she's going to be disloyal. Maybe she's just trying to enter the US. So in a way, you are at a better place, actually, with your 8 out of 10 Asian woman. Black Pigeon Pill says, JF is definitely our strategist. Well, no. People mistake immediate insemination with disloyalty and polygamy. Not at all. I am the most loyal man you can have. But your form of loyalty to me as a woman must be that you produce babies. That's not me not wanting loyalty. That's me demanding equal loyalty. Because my loyalty and my monogamy is unquestionable. In fact, it's legendary. I mean, can you believe all of the fake coverage about me, all of the hit pieces about me? Not a single one of these journalists, not a single one of these claims that I have ever betrayed a woman. They claim that I rape, they claim that I murder, they claim that But none of them has a story about me being disloyal out of hundreds of girlfriends. So I offer this loyalty. I expect a loyalty in return. And the way a female is loyal is by producing your babies. Simple. And once you get this, you understand that my insistence on insemination is not at all degeneracy. In fact, it's how the world worked like 80 years ago. Literally. They called it marriage and everything, but it was this. It was, okay, a woman has menstruation. She will be your woman, and you will have sex with her, and you'll be the two of you will be making infinite amounts of babies. We have here an octopus who's grabbing a shark, but maybe misses the grab a little bit. It's pretty impressive how the octopus sticks her pumped legs, her. But now the octopus commits a mistake, lets the mouth of the shark be in range of biting. And now the full shark head is free. Maybe he's gonna be able to escape. And it seems dire for the current situation of the shark. Oh, and somehow the octopus has found that maybe there was a decision that this is too hard of a prey to swallow. The shark succeeds at undoing the trap. It seems that they're filming something. It looks like the octopus is held by some human device here. Maybe it's for some cinema that they're doing. Maybe they're filming a documentary or whatever. Steve Vineman, that's fascinating because I heard commentary from this guy, but I didn't realize. I thought it was a meme. People were superimposing his voice onto things, but no, he's actually producing these every day on Twitter. Where he does a sports commentary on shooting events and that kind of stuff.
You know, time and time again, I don't understand why criminals continue to rob people while they're waiting for their food, especially when they're hangry and more courageous, like this man who just busts a cap in this dude's ass. You never get between a man and his Swiss cheeseburger or end up turning the robber into Swiss cheese, looking like ground beef on the ground now. Robert thought he was scoring the easy come up, but instead he scores a couple of lead nuggets to the chest as this man pulls.
Wow. Impressive. Impressive people carrying guns for that moment. Man, the UK females, British women are ugly. I was watching this clip today. What the fuck is this? Like, you are displaying your legs and over fat boobs. It's disgusting. You would gain by covering all of this. What the fuck is this? You have a belly. You have. This is ugly. So hide it. Same thing here. Like, okay, you're gonna go through all of the trouble to look. To expose more parts of your skin, but you're ugly. You're a 6 out of 10. Like the whole boob is hanging here. I don't want to see this boob. Look at this. Everyone is brown and over fat. And here, the face structure, what the fuck? Your neck is bigger than your cranium. I mean, this could be a scene from a horror movie. I mean, give me some props here and some CGI. This could be a horror movie. She could be like a dead mummy waking up from Egypt. Ugly, ugly, fat. Ugly. See, even this may be the most beautiful we've seen up to now. Lack of class, over-displayed, not even super beautiful, really, just limit, not fat. The world has become disgusting. These poor creatures of the city females, they are desperate. Black Pigeon Pill says, mids wishing they were Goldilocks. Exactly. And it's, you know, all the effort and money they put into looking like they want to look beautiful. It's kind of desperate. There would be less effort to put to be genuinely beautiful. I've been continuing my discussion on race mixing. I said, our geek geneticists calculating monkeys are hard at work figuring out various alternative ways to get to my measure of race mixing, some using estimates and extrapolations. I think some of their calculations are invalid, but still science wins, curiosity wins. I want to warn you guys, there's a bunch of people out there, they've been unloading strong mathematics onto my calculations. And be very careful, there are some researchers who they present themselves as open to my ID, but then they mess up their own calculations and they claim they have debunked me, and very often they haven't. So there is this researcher in the threads that I've quoted on my Twitter. First, one of them actually realized that I'm right if you take Spanish people versus... if you take Yoruba Africans and you take Australians, they claim even with their math, I'm right. But there's some other in that thread that claim that I'm not right. And it's I've already won. This is what I want to tell you guys. First, because I'm right. Second, because they're pulling the mathematical artillery to try to get a few percentage points below, just so they can say, he's not right. We've taken fresher data, we've applied different mathematics, and you actually are a little more related to your child than your white neighbor, if you have a biracial child. And it's like, I won. I won because first, you guys are confirming that whether your truth is correct or mine is correct, we're arguing on this. In the end, you lose a lot of genetic relationship. You lose enormous amounts of genetic relationship when you breed across races. So I won. Now, you can make the argument it's 3% down, 5% up. I don't really care. That being said, even their argument that they pulled the relationship down is filled with flaws. They assume FST instead of measuring it. So we have to trust that their measure of distance across the races is the one they say they have. For some reason, they refuse to take my data, which is empirical, which has been actually measured in DNA segments across European samples and African samples. And they're like, oh, this data is imperfect. And instead of this, they don't give me better data. They give me assumptions. They give me assumptions. It's like, if you're going to claim that my data is not reliable enough or... One of them claimed that my data was too old. Too old? What the f... What does that mean to old? The DNA letters are still the same 20 years later. Too old is not an argument in science. So first they claim, oh, his data is a little old. Here, let me fit in new numbers. Their new numbers are not measured. They are extrapolated from theoretical assumptions. The guy just decided that FST between a Yoruba African and a Spanish European was 0.150. You don't know this? It just makes sense. It must be somewhere there. You don't know this, so you base your entire calculation, which are supposed to be more reliable than mine, on an assumption. Fuck this shit. Secondly, they build with their assumptions, and then they take numbers that they got from Spaniards and Yoruba Africans. The problem with Yoruba Africans is they are at the limit. They are at the geographical limit of what I call an African. Because you have North Africa, there are Arabs in there. I would never take a sample from North Africa to mean African. Because when we think about black Africans, we're really talking about sub-Saharan Africans. So what do? They take the northmost sample they can find, a Yoruba African from Nigeria. And then for the European sample, these fuckers, they take a Spaniard. Like Mama JF has been in Spain, and the problem of Spain is that it's in Africa. Hear me out on this one. The problem of Spain is that it's directly connected to Africa. They have even an enclave on the continent of Africa. And it's a country that is the closest European country in terms of land access, in terms of accessibility and transfers of genes to Africa. So to undermine my case and to get just a slightly lower number and to be able to say, oh, JF is wrong, they had to take the southernmost European group and the northernmost sub-Saharan African group, and they had to apply different mathematics. Well, I say, and on top of it, their mathematics are extrapolative rather than empirical. They haven't even measured the data they claim. So fuck this shit. I hereby deny that my calculation has been undermined. Now, I'm willing for my calculation to be undermined, but come at me with some quality. Come at me with a rational argument why this method is better than mine. I mean, it's not. It's not because you've invented. You started with an assumption on your FST. Already we are in the world of imagination here. Imagination. And you dare tell me that my samples are too small because there's 10 and 10 in that group and 10 in that other group. And it's like, your sample is zero, bro. Your sample is zero. Dinner, I see that Stephen Robinson is reporting he is under a severe storm and therefore is having difficulty following the show. He says, night, all. Night, Stephen Robinson. And hopefully that storm passes and hopefully doesn't kill all of your family and yourself. Dino Lugovic sends a super chat. He says, JF, are the people who promote nurture versus nature in regards... Nurture is more important than nature in regards to genetics and outcomes in IQ and behavior, the intellectual equivalent of flat earthers. Well, I mean, flat earthers. It's you're asking me about comparisons, and like any comparison, it has good aspects to it. There are weak aspects to it. Of course, the flat earthers are, they have a level of delusion that goes beyond most things. They are some of the most deluded people. So I wouldn't do the comparison simply because it's not productive. There's always going to be a weakness. I don't do much comparison Because there's always a weakness, and it always takes the debate back, because we're talking to retarded people most of the time. Most of your life, you will interact with the retarded. And the retarded, you give them a comparison, and their brains immediately gets busy trying to find some aspect of the comparison that doesn't overlap. And they kind of refuse to make the comparison, but on a basis that is not justified. You can see how intelligent people are and how they react to metaphors and comparisons. But the devil is in the delegation. This is what I wanted to say today. In a stunning letter to Congress, Zuckerberg admits that Biden-Harris pressured Facebook to censor content. So here we have a billionaire who is supposed to be the one determining how things happen, but being part of the social world, wanting the Democrats to win, hating on Trump, wants to be part of the club. And you end up we're supposed to be in an America where the politicians, their job is to honor the Constitution. The government should honor the Constitution. And the first priority of the Constitution, the First Amendment, is to ensure freedom of speech. But we have totally reverted that. Now, the Biden admin wanted pro-Trump forces to be weakened back in those days through censorship. They wanted to use COVID as an excuse to justify censorship. Not that they cared that much about COVID or the vaccine. It was just an excuse. It was giving them the excuse of saying, oh, well, it's not speech that we're censoring. It's harm. And Mark Zuckerberg has been a cuck through it all because he's been delegating. So we have a first degree of delegation in the government saying, oh, here, we can't censor, so we're going to delegate censorship to our big tech agents. And then you have these Zuckerbergs type who have been happy to be the total puppets of this whole system, so much so that I consider them part of the whole system of oppression. And how can you say, I'm sorry, we're in 2024, how can Zuckerberg suddenly have realized that what he did is wrong? You knew it was wrong as you were doing it. You thought you could get away with it. You thought you could balance the internet. You thought you could exclude us, basically, from society. You thought you could exclude dissent. And you thought you wouldn't get called on it. But the internet took its own direction, and ultimately these censoring platforms are weaker by the day. And they have lost credibility, they have lost confidence of the people and confidence of their own users. Dr. Deadname says, democracy can be as stifling as autocracy, it just uses different methods of control. Absolutely. Totally. I agree. So I think it's bullshit when Zuckerberg says, I'm sorry, I regret censoring. No, you played your hand and it was too weak. And now you are trying to walk it back because you see how bad you look. But I don't think you're sorry for something that you've done willfully and that you've engaged in happily, really, when you didn't have to. Like, who's more powerful than a Zuckerberg? Zuckerberg could say fuck you to the American government and there was nothing they could do to him. But he didn't do that. Like, if the First Amendment applies to anything, it's certainly those social media platforms. You would have had absolute protection. Naberius says, I was just following orders. Yeah, and those are arguments. Those are ways to escape responsibility. Pavel got hit with the CIA honeypot. Guys, there's no such thing as girls on the internet. They don't exist. They're not real. Women online are an Illuminati deep state MK Ultra program. Everyone knows this. Look at this. a crypto coach, Julia Vavilova. You gotta be kidding me. A girl comes to you, she looks like this, and you're a billionaire, and your reaction is, why not? Bro, this is textbook. She even has a Russian name with the word love in it, like whatever, Russian or Eastern European or Italian. I don't care. I mean, she has the whole package of a CIA agent. Julia Vavilova, a crypto coach. Pavel, you got scammed by a crypto coach. Everywhere you see these guys making massive errors, you will find a cute crypto coach not so far. Here, Julia Vavilova, let me tell you, I will never need a crypto coach. Pavel, if you needed a crypto coach, why would you pick a woman? Of course, he selected her because she's cute, and therefore he was hiring her not as a crypto coach, but with the hope of having sex with her. But this is... I'm so frustrated because these guys are billionaires. And delegation is in... The devil is in the delegation. They delegate so much power. And probably this guy is probably an autistic, you know, guy who probably, if you give him the attention of a woman's love, you probably break his whole brain. But if he wanted help, I could have helped him. Like, name me a manager. These people are, they have billions of dollars. They could, I could work for smaller, okay, people are saying well, the stream has gone offline for an instant, but we're back. Yeah, today I've uninstalled my antivirus, so my bet is we're not going to have any problem. Now, we had an instantaneous problem, but see, it's already corrected. But these billionaires, they could pay me. I would do it for free to an extent because I'm sympathetic to them. And I could crypto coach you, Pavel, and most importantly, I could be in charge of your flight schedule. And believe me, with Papa JF as a manager, you're not getting arrested. But you're going to have to deprive yourself of some liberties. Because when you say, Papa JF, can I go to France with Julia Vavilova? We want to talk crypto, buy some ledgers, and also talk with President Macron. He has invited us to a dinner. Papa JF will be like, no. And I'm putting you right now in a black box. I'm wrapping you in aluminum paper so that no wave can get to you. You are currently a target of the CIA. You're not going to France, Pavel. Mysterious crypto coach traveling with Telegram CEO is missing. Julia Vavilova, a 24-year-old described as a crypto coach, has gone missing after reportedly traveling with Telegram CEO Pavel Durov, who was arrested in Paris. Vavilova's family has been unable to locate her since the arrest. She recently shared glamorous photos from a trip to Azerbaijan with Durov. Ladies and gentlemen, you must consume the intelligence agent quick because she disappears quick. That's a lesson I've learned, which is why you need to inseminate them on first sight. It's because they're not going to be there the next week once you're in jail. So it's like, yeah, this meme could have saved Pavel Durov. Dude, stop looking at her. She's not worth your time. Look into my eyes. The tits are temporary. The glory of Rome is forever. Fractalman says, that is why you need to inseminate. Oh, yeah, exactly. That is why you need to inseminate immediately. Spooks can't get preggers by their target. Exactly. That's why direct insemination is the only way you're going to keep the CIA out of your life. And even there, I think at some point they're going to have a technique like, at some point they're gonna have some BERT pills that they maybe they're gonna start paying the BERT pills for their agents. Which is why, I mean, you actually need to be able to detect the fertility cycle of the woman to be sure that that she's not just taking your sperm, but that she is taking your sperm while fertile. I mean, it's such a pain in the ass to be keeping those cute interns out of your life. Shrink Mamel sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, I have decided to go for the Taiwanese woman. She doesn't know when she wants kid. However, I'm not waiting 3 years for her to finish school and I can get residency permit in Taiwan via marriage. Absolutely. So it's all about how quick can you make it happen. So go for the quickest option. Sure, absolutely. Go for it. And you know, you will have regrets. Your balls are going to be sending signals in your body. It's going to be like, shring my mail. You could have had a 9.5 out of 10 sexy Vietnamese woman. A true 19-year-old with absolutely perfect skin, perfect legs. And you need to be able to shut that down and understand you've done what you had to do. It's a game and you played it to win. Shrig Mamel says, the woman in Vietnam wants to wait 3 years. Oh, yeah, that's a no-no, basically. I mean, 3 years. You can have 1,000 girlfriend and then go back to her in 3 years. There's an interaction between Jake Shields and Andrew Wilson. And I don't know what's happening in the head of Andrew Wilson, my friend, here. Because he's wrong. He's wrong in his argument. Jake Shields says, I was challenged to a debate by Paleo Chris Khan and won before it even started. That was too easy. Because Andrew Wilson here represents, I don't know the history of the discussion between these two, but I'm willing to trust Andrew. Here he represents what Jake Shields believes in. One, whatever podcast brings on women to make them look stupid and like whores. You are denying this, Andrew? I mean, it's pretty much what the Whatever podcast does. Now, I get it. They have a chance. They could not look like whores. But it's the whole business of the Whatever podcast. It's what they do. Now, of course, they could. It could turn out that there's an intelligent woman out there. She makes it to the Whatever podcast and she makes an intelligent argument. And she ends up not looking like a whore. But until that woman shows up, number one, I believe, is a proper description of what the Whatever podcast does. Like, it seems that Andrew Wilson is trying to say, well, it's not what they want to do. Well, but it's what they does, Andrew. It's what they do. Andrew, right? What is the argument against this? The Whatever podcast doesn't bring women to make them look stupid and like whores. Number two, the Whatever podcast is currently in the process of a buyout with the Daily Wire. Okay, this I don't know at all. Interesting rumor. I have no idea. It makes sense to me. You know why? Because I know that Andrew Wilson has been pressuring the Whatever podcast to invite me when I was traveling to the US. And I know another thing, they never invited me. So I know that here we have a crew that is deciding not to invite me on the best recommendation from one of their closest collaborators, Andrew Wilson. Now, it's okay. I don't take issue with this. But I'm like, why wouldn't they invite me? I would be the most hilarious guy on this stuff. Like, these thoughts all need to be said, to be told, to get inseminated that night. We have to find sperm and inseminate them. I would be counting the eggs. I know how to be fun on a whole podcast. I would have plenty to say, and arguably, one night of me would be funnier than the 15th night of Andrew Wilson on this podcast. No offense, Andrew. You're funny. I like your appearance on the whatever podcast. But my first night on there would be funnier than your 209th on there, okay? I'm that good. Yeah, so it would make absolute sense that they're not inviting me if they want to sell to the Daily Wire. Because if you have Papa JF on your property, you cannot sell to the... The Daily Wire is not interested. But if you don't have Papa JF on your podcast, maybe the maybe you can sell to the Daily Wire. Black Pigeon Pill says you'd be great. I hope it happens, JF. Well, they've not been inviting me, despite the insistence of Andrew. Now, I'm not making pressure. There are various reasons why you don't invite people, and they have their business, and it rolls and it works. I think maybe they're under the false impression that all I talk about is Jews. No, I'm totally willing to go on this podcast and talk about the hoes that are presented in front of me, but no, they haven't. Number three, and this is where I don't get it. Andrew Wilson says that Jake Shield claims that the Whatever podcast doesn't allow real conversations. But it's true. We've seen it. We've seen someone named the Mossad, and it wasn't even in a context where they wanted to get into the Jewish question or anything. They just wanted to get into, oh yeah, the Mossad does this kind of operation sometime. Just the mention of Israel and the Mossad was totally shut down. They stopped the conversation. They said, no, we cannot talk about this. So don't tell me it's a real conversation. It's not a real conversation. When you say real conversation in this business, what you mean is absolutely opened, can go in any direction, and there are close to no rules. Now, this is true. The Whatever podcast doesn't allow real conversation. How is it that we have an Andrew that tries to argue the contrary? Well, I had an interaction with Andrew, but he doesn't have much of an argument. He says, well, they have two. It's on YouTube. Well, Jake Shields didn't say they don't have two. By the way, there are ways, even if you're a YouTube podcast, you can organize a parallel account on Odyssey, on Rumble. You can go to that account whenever you want to have a more edgy conversation. There definitely would be ways for them to freely speak about these issues. But the point is not even this. No one is saying they don't have to. We understand there are rules at YouTube that limit what can happen. But don't lie about it. Don't tell me it's real open conversation on anything. No, it's not. Those are artificial conversations constrained by the powers that be. And they are constrained around the vaccine. They are constrained around the Jews. They are constrained around race. By the way, Andrew's wife, Rachel, comes to me on Twitter and says, they are a dating podcast. You don't think that a dating podcast could have stuff to talk about regarding dating and the vaccine? Regarding dating and race, regarding dating and the Jews, regarding OnlyFans and the Jews. No, definitely the themes that are touched upon by the Whatever podcast lend themselves to all of these discussions. And if you wanted to call it a real conversation, these three elements would definitely be part of a real conversation around dating. It's a dating podcast. And the thing is, people can talk politics on this show. They're not being stopped. Even the person that was talking about intelligence services, they were first starting about the CIA. And that was okay. They didn't say, oh, we can't talk about the CIA here. No. It wasn't a dating podcast then. It was a CIA discussion podcast. Now they mention the Mossad. Whoa, stop. We have to stop. So very clearly, they are letting any conversation go except those that are hot for YouTube censorship. So that is not a real discussion podcast. And dating, let me tell you, the intersection of dating and race would be a spectacular whatever podcast. I mean, if you want to do like Nick Fuentes, bring me all these black women, black OnlyFans whores, and yeah, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them! Don't retain me, I'm going to tell them! Yeah, that could be the funniest thing we've seen. Black Pigeon Pill says, it's pathetic how evident censorship is everywhere these days. Yeah, which is why I think that X will rise. X will rise. They are currently developing X to be playable on smart TVs automatically. That would be very good. Because then X would be competing with YouTube for device penetration. And yeah, I think it's the direction to go. And eventually, I would like to be a full-time streamer on Twitter, on X. It's not yet to the point where I want to do it because it's bizarre. Their page for live streaming is bizarre. And people just don't go to it. And you don't even have a way to tell live viewership. It's a stack of how many people have connected to the YouTube, to the stream in its history. It's kind of not standard in the business to count it that way. Nicholas Petris says, I hate those roasty whores and the retarded hosts have made me feel sympathetic for some of them because of how manipulatively and disingenuously they were framing or pushing them. Just seen some clips, don't remember specifics. Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, when you host a podcast, you become an expert at kind of pulling the most outrageous thing from your guest. And yes, that's what they do. That's what they do, definitely. Trump admits that he made a mistake picking personal. Well, again, you know, delegation. Delegation.
I didn't really know anybody in Washington. I was a New York person. I wasn't like a Washington, D.C. person. And all of it.
By the way, that's Trump responding to a Nick Fuentes talking point. Credits to Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes is imposing his rhythm on this political campaign. Because here we have Trump in some skyscraper tower. Answering on a podcast to what is essentially a complaint of Nick Fuentes.
All of a sudden, I'm president and I'm driving down Pennsylvania Avenue with more police and motorcycles and military than I've ever seen before in my life. I said to my wife, do you believe this? I'm president. But I didn't know anybody in Washington. And I rely on people to give me names.
No, you didn't have to. We elected you explicitly because you would go in there and drain the swamp. Your job was not to listen to people. Your job was to use what you've learned from companies, which is that human beings are the worst parasite the universe has ever come with. And they will organize themselves around draining energy and money from you, and they have organized themselves into draining from the federal government, and your job was to fire everyone. So don't be there saying, oh, well, I didn't know. You're supposed to know because you were supposed to go there to drain the swamp. That's not someone who's supposed not to know. That's someone who knows, and we've sent you specifically for doing something you didn't do, which is draining the swamp.
And many were.
Now you trust the swamp is what, instead of draining the swamp, you trusted the swamp.
Really good. I mean, Bob Lighthizer, I had great trade people. I had some great people, but I also picked people that in retrospect, I wouldn't have picked. But now I know the smart ones, the dumb ones, the weak ones, the solid ones, the ones like you. I know the people, I know everybody, sort of like everybody. And we're going to have a great.
except the Project 2025. He doesn't know these people, and he doesn't know Nick Fuentes. It's so sad what's happening with this political campaign. I have so little interest. Look at J.D. Vance trying to make a joke about him being a fan of Pokemon and his mother bringing too many Pokemon cards to his children.
He is, I will say, the best grandmother that my kids could ask for. They are 7, 4, and 2. Little spoils them a little bit too much. Mom, no more Pokemon cards in front of 1,000 people. No more Pokemon cards. The kids have got enough. He is, I will say, the best
And as someone was pointing out on Twitter, it's not the joke, it's the delivery, says Richard Anania. Yeah, it's it's kind of weird. And we learned more today about the circumstances in which Pavel Durov was lured into France. Definitely the woman who showed in his life, I believe, must have had some role in it. But also, they lured him by stroking his ego. The President de la République wants to meet with you, Pavel. Pavel Durov said that he was lured to France by President Macron. It turns out that the French president invited Durov to dine together. Pavel told about this during interrogation by the police, the French newspaper Le Canard Chaîné claims. But instead of lunch, Durov was met in France by local police. Macron did not officially confirm this, but local politician Florian Philippot said that this was quite in the spirit of the French president. Absolutely ridiculous. Whenever they want you to cross a border, they are after you. And they want you to cross that border because they're going to arrest you at that border. Unbelievable. Just basic mistake. No, the president doesn't want to speak with you. When CBS wanted to interview me, they wanted me to enter the US for it. I said, no way, no way, no way. You guys are flying from New York to Montreal. I will meet you at a specific place in Montreal. and no filming of my home, my car, where I live. I'm going to drive a full day toward Montreal just to keep it far from me, and I will not cross the border. Of course, when they want you to cross the border, they want you to be stuck in a jurisdiction where you have no rights, where you're stuck at the border. So, effectively at the border, you have zero rights. And so they can do whatever they want with you. You are basically an illegal alien trying to enter. And they caught you. I mean, it's incredible, but it's what it is. So you have no rights at a border. So only cross the border on your own will, never by the demand of some institution or agent, or even with Pavel Durov, I would say you have to be suspicious of your own staff. So if your staff is planning a fueling trip in France or dinner with president in France, that is bullshit. And that's how they get to people. They stroke their ego. It's like, oh, Pavel, you are such an important programmer. The president wants to speak with you. No. Raised Fist says, JF, I still can't believe you tried to cross the US border. Well, I tried, but on my own terms and at my own choice and in my own circumstances. I tried. They didn't arrest me. So Swing It says, JF, where would you live if you were a dissident billionaire? Oh man, there's not many places to live. I would probably choose an island. Probably would have to be an island, because islands, if you can just pay the local city mafia, you have to have an island with white people on it, basically. And that's getting rarer and rarer, let me tell you. I don't know exactly where I would live. Probably, if I was in an advanced nation to begin with, I would probably just stay there. because you can avoid a lot of trouble. Like right now I'm in Canada, and like I could get in trouble if I tried to travel to Europe. I certainly will never travel to Europe. Now, I attempted entering the U.S., but the U.S. has a very special thing for First Amendment, so they couldn't get to me with speech crimes. And basically, all that they have against me, if I was to enter Europe, is speech crime. It's all I do. I don't do anything else than speak. So the First Amendment is just perfect for me. So it all depends on what kind of area did you make your money, what kind of area did you become a billionaire, and how many, who are the politicians pissed at you, and how many third world or second world nation can you buy out or just shut down with a check? It's a complex question. Nick Fuentes said 2 weeks ago, blah, blah. Okay, so yeah, I like the project of Nick Fuentes here.
So then I say, all right, yeah, Nick Fuentes has no place in the GOP. Well, I'll take all my followers and I'll go to Michigan and we'll do things I won't disclose now. And maybe we'll prevent 10,000 people from voting that otherwise would have voted Republican. If Trump...
I like this. I love this project. Lauren Witt was saying, this is so important. Nick Fuentes is holding Donald Trump's feet to the fire on key issues that could cost him the election if he doesn't change course. Absolutely. And it's totally legitimate to pressure Trump on these things. We have to have mechanism that bring back the right to a true right-wing program, or else we have no political option. Here we have J.D. Vance with his mom. Oh man, the world is so disappointing. Aha, they said they would vote for her, not me. Oh man, this is so far from the 2016 energy. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling the Vance. I'm not feeling the Vance. Laura Loomer says, breaking, Jack Smith's grand jury has brought a new superseding indictment against President Donald Trump in an effort to interfere in the 2024 election. Yeah, people are ripping off their shirt. It's going to be a very weak indictment, and it's all about, well, the Supreme Court said that Trump had immunity for his actions committed as a president. So now there were some actions in the complaint that they are trying to argue, well, that wasn't a presidential action. It was a personal, private Trump action. And so it's going to be a weakened case. People are ripping off their shirts saying it's election interference, but it's really Jack Smith continuing with the same case, but removing the things that the Supreme Court has said they had to remove. Now, what's probably going to happen is Jack Smith is going to try to include still too much stuff in this. There's going to be some that the Supreme Court looks back at and say, no, no, this is a presidential action. So it's going to be a whole war about, is it a presidential action? I don't think it's going to interfere much, because already Jack Smith is going extremely low profile with this. He said that he wouldn't ask for Trump to be present. So basically they will leave Trump be and leave Trump do his campaign. Now you could argue that just the mental pressure, the mental pressure aspect is going to be an election interference issue. But I think Jack Smith is just trying to go low profile with this case and probably hopes that it gets dismissed, actually. Probably is, given that the grass has been cut under his feet by the Supreme Court, he probably knows there's not much chance to get anything anymore. The United Arab Emirates has completely frozen the implementation of a contract to purchase 80 fighter jets from France following the arrest of Pavel Durov. So Pavel Durov, very interesting. I didn't know that he had such support in the Arab world. So they're saying now, we're not going to buy jets from France if you guys arrest our guy, Pavel Durov. So France has been playing a very important card here in the whole NATO, US versus Russia environment. Because Telegram is an item of liberty that ends up benefiting a lot the Russian Arab side of the world, and South American even are very much on Telegram. Telegram is opened enough that it's been allowing a lot, and yes, some criminality, but not by the fault of Pavel Durov, just because it's available. People are saying there's some lag. Hopefully it will correct itself. Anyways, we are headed toward the end of the show. Parents are fighting back with rising use of religious vaccine exemptions for their children. So that is something that we must develop. We must develop a culture of I religiously exempt to everything. I religiously exempt to your vaccines. I religious, because they're using all this to give themselves ping inserts into your life. Because if you start following the vaccine schedule, let's say in Canada, you give birth to a baby. The minute the baby is born, the hospital is automatically subscribing you to the governmental agency that reminds you to vaccinate your children. Now they have your name. They have your Odyssey channel. They have your YouTube political view. They have your child. They have your address. Now they have a contact with you every year saying, oh, now it's time for vaccine number 7. And they even have whether you will get vaccine number 7. Now, if you don't get vaccine number 7, suddenly you're committing medical neglect. And now they can attack you in child protective service courts and that kind of stuff. So all in all, the government is giving himself way too much overlap with our private lives. People are saying, I disappeared from Odyssey. The stream has gone. No, it's not over. But apparently the stream is bugging. Personally, I'm seeing myself, so perhaps we're back. We are so back. So I was just talking about how the government is giving himself way too much monitoring points in our lives. And at this point, we just have to tell them, the Bible says you're wrong. The Bible says, don't do this. And so I'm not going to do this. And we have to religiously exempt ourselves of everything. The vaccine schedule, the monitoring, the surveillance, the armed force, forced service, whatever. Whatever you can escape with religion, do it. Let's see here. A spider is wrapping a bee. This will be the last news item. Giga spider work here. Boom, boom, boom. Pinning the bee into her web. Just wrap, wrap, wrap. Neutralizing her wings. And now the bee cannot shake her way out. And the silk is slowly wrapping her into a beautiful tight cylinder. You can't do anything, bee.
And it's done.
You are now a meal for this spider. Wrapped, wrapped, and wrapped, and wrapped. So powerful. Wow. And the spider is working her way. The spider is just handling that bee, no problem. She keeps rapping. There's just one leg that's not tightened in, it would seem. Boom, she's trying now to wrap the last leg. Rotate, rotate. Rah! Visions of horror. Your life will be drained. And see how relaxed the spider goes? It's like, boom, my job is done here. I'm gonna go out there and just chill now. The spider just goes away. Shrink Mamed has sent a super chat. He says, I hate having to play all these Asian women just like I was doing with the bar hose. I think you're getting to it, Shrink Mamed. Don't despair it. Keep it up. And yeah, play the one that you believe in. If it's tiring you emotionally to be multi-investing, if you have one that you truly believe in, just play her. And I think you're getting close. When we're talking about visas, when we're talking about ease of moving and doability of the moving aspect, you're there. You're getting there. And this Asian female hopefully will be your wife. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. Low Mercury Tune, I had another super chat on entropy. He said, miscegenation creates white-presenting carriers of non-white genes, like Nick Fuentes, genetic Trojan horses, a genetic bridge of slow but progressive infusion of non-whiteness, a very slow-motion genocide, but the genocide nonetheless. Counter? Well, no, I will not counter this, because I believe you've just spitted facts, bro.